The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the 11 and those with him, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
It's good to be with you this morning. How have you been transformed through someone's unexpected kindness? That is the question that's on the back of this card, which I got from your neighbors down the street at the Society of St. John the Evangelist, my buddies, the Episcopal monks. If you've ever been inside SSJE's chapel on Memorial Drive, you might recall that they have a number of stained glass windows pretty high up that depict all different male saints who were key developers of the Christian monastic life. Recently, they produced a whole set of these cards that have the close-ups of the windows so you can actually finally see what all the saints look like. And the question that I asked you is on the back of the card for Saint Pachomius, who died this month 1,648 years ago in 348 AD in Egypt. And I don't expect you to know who Pachomius is. He's in like the deeper bench of saints. He's one of the desert saints. But he is worth knowing about. And his life was transformed by unexpected kindness. And he went on to transform the church in ways that still influence us today. Pachomius was born in Egypt, in Thebaid, near modern-day Luxor, to non-Christian parents who worshiped the local gods. And he lived in the time of Emperor Constantine, who we know, whose Roman Empire included Egypt. And right around the time that Pachomius was about 20, Constantine issued the Edict of Milan that decriminalized Christianity. But Constantine, right at the same time, also did something that would affect Pachomius much more personally. Constantine called for conscripts for a military campaign, and Pachomius, as a young man, was swept up against his will and conscripted into the army of the Roman Empire. And with other youths, he was taken from his parents, stuffed into a ship, and sent down the Nile. The conscripts were treated harshly and guarded as prisoners. And when they and their captors arrived at Thebes soon after, something surprising happened. A random group of locals came to the young men and brought them food and refreshment and words of comfort. And then they went away. And Pachomius was stunned. Why would strangers do such a thing to people that they didn't even know? And the other men with him said, "Oh, those are Christians. That's what they do. They follow their Lord Jesus of Nazareth, And he told them to feed the prisoner, to visit the prisoners, and to feed the hungry, and to give drink to the thirsty, and especially to show hospitality to travelers. Now, the Roman Empire was not known for its social services, and the Roman army was not known for its meal plan. And in fact, in Roman prisons, generally, there wasn't a meal plan. So if you wanted to eat, there needed to be people that you knew that brought you food. And so if you were a stranger, normally, you were out of luck. And that's why, part of why, Pachomius was so stunned to have these people reaching out to this group from another place who they didn't even know. On the worst day of Pachomius' life, at his lowest and hungriest, some Christians turned up with their potluck and sang hymns. And that night, Pachomius prayed, "God, if I ever get out of here, I will find the Christians again and join them." And Pachomius did survive his stint in the Roman army. He returned to Egypt, and he kept his promise. He found a church. He became a catechumen. He was baptized. And then he felt called to go farther. He felt called to give his whole life to Jesus. And so he went out into the desert, and he asked one of the hermits if he could study with him and learn about prayer and fasting and disciplining the body. And now, if you've ever read any ancient Christian literature, you know that hermits pretty much always say no when someone asks to join them because they're hermits. But the strategy is, if you just don't leave, eventually they have to teach you something. And so Pachomius did find a mentor, and he started learning the ways of the Christians in the desert. And in those days, the Christian community looked like there were churches, you know, which were in cities and towns with priests and deacons and people like we have. And then there were hermits living alone in the desert, and sometimes people would go and consult them. And remember, you can't survive as a human being. So the hermits were like 4 miles away. Like they weren't, you know, a huge distance, but they were outside in the desert around Egypt, living this ascetic life. And there wasn't really much in between. There were no monasteries yet. But two things were happening. The first thing was that more and more people, like Pachomius, were going out to the desert to try to learn about prayer and to seek this wisdom that the hermits had. And the second thing was the Roman Empire was starting to founder, and life in towns and cities was becoming more unstable, was becoming insecure, and there was more conflict and war, as Pachomius had found out. And so this made it difficult for both the Christians in the cities and the Christians in the desert. They were both vulnerable when there was any kind of conflict. They were vulnerable to attack. And so Pachomius started to wonder, what if there was a third way of life for Christians that was sort of between the churches in the cities and the life of the hermits? What if people came together in Christian community and lived together sort of how people live together in the army, but with two key differences? The first, that everybody chose to do that, that no one was forced, that people wanted that way of life. And the second was that they were to be an army of peace, not an army of war. They were to come together as Christians in this kind of army that didn't fight, that only prayed. So Pachomius and his mentor hermit found an abandoned village nearby, and they started one of the earliest monasteries. And he wrote a handbook for them for how they were to live and to pray together, called A Rule of Life. And of course, at first, all the bishops were against this. This was a crazy idea. Communal hermits. What what does that even mean, communal hermits? Then the bishop said, okay, we can have communal hermits, but the priests need to run these too. So we want the priests in charge of these communities. And Pachomius was adamant that priests needed to stay the heck out of the monastic movement. But eventually the bishops came around to it, and people kept coming and coming. And then the rule that Pachomius wrote was used by other founders of monasteries in the Eastern Church, and also by another early monk, Benedict of Nursia, who incorporated it into his rule of Saint Benedict. And Pachomius became the founder of monasticism. The Roman Empire did founder and it did fall. Life for ordinary people in the cities and the towns became more and more precarious for hundreds of years. Many of the great advances of Roman civilization were lost or simply forgotten as people struggled to survive. The monasteries grew and grew. And in those days, they were built on a model of sustainability, that they were to grow their own food, everyone was to work and to pitch in. They had libraries, they preserved the ancient learning that was not being preserved in the cities. They always offered hospitality and safety to travelers in dangerous times. When the region where monasteries were was attacked, they let all the local people into their walls for protection. The monasteries became anchors of faith and sustainability in an unstable and dangerous world. And without Pachomius and others like him, we would not have the church that we have today, and we might not have the church at all. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Ascension. That time between the Ascension and Pentecost is an anxious and unstable time. Jesus has been resurrected from the dead, and he's been appearing to the disciples for 40 days. He's been eating with them. He's been doing Bible study with them. He's been doing all the things that he used to do. But now he says goodbye again, and he leaves, and he ascends into heaven, and the promised Holy Spirit hasn't come yet. It's a moment where the disciples are asking, well, now what? Now we wait. We wait in Jerusalem. And we heard the story a bit out of order today, since we always read the gospel last. But the book of the Acts of the Apostles, you may know, is just a continuation of the Gospel of Luke. It's part two, you know. The Gospel of Acts is the story of Jesus, and then Acts continues the story of the new church. And so we sort of heard them flip today. But what is in both of those readings is Jesus saying, you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. And that word in Greek is a word that we have a version of in English. It's martyres, or we have the English word martyr. Martyr, martyria, means testimony or evidence, like in a court case. But for the early Christians, martyrs were simply witnesses. Those who bore witness to Christ and to the transformative power of Christ in their lives, and who often ended up giving their lives as a sacrifice as a result of this witness, but not always. Jesus' last instructions to the disciples are to stay in Jerusalem to receive the Holy Spirit, by whose power they will all become witnesses to all people, to people everywhere. And this is what those Christians in Thebes were doing over 1,600 years ago. They were witnessing to Christ's power in their lives by showing up to feed a bunch of scared and hungry young men conscripted into the army, being treated as prisoners, young men and boys taken from their families against their will. They were showing up for them. These Christians had no way of knowing the tremendous impact that their kindness would have on some of those men and on the whole church, and that it would last for millennia. It was such a simple thing that they did. And yet, in their time and ours, we know that showing up to support the humanity of people who are strangers to us is still a radical act. Refusing to harden our hearts is a radical act in these evil days, and we know it well. We are living in an anxious, dangerous, and unstable world. Empires are falling, and perhaps new ones are rising. The signs of the times are hard to miss. What is our Christian witness? How will we honor Christ in our own day? The world needs both our actions and our words. There are many false prophets who claim Christ's name for violence and racial hatred as a way of reinforcing patriarchal structures, as a way of exploiting the vulnerable. We know that. And I say the world needs our actions and our words because Lutherans, Episcopalians, mainline Christians, we want to lean more on the actions. You know, we don't want to, do you really have to testify? Do we really have to be that out front with we're doing these things because of Jesus? Now we do. We need our words in this moment. We need our words because so many Christians are buying into a Christian nationalist and Christo-fascist expression, perversion of our faith. We can't be so quiet anymore. Even Midwestern Lutherans, even New England Episcopalians, we have to speak out. We have to. We don't have to solve all these crises that are unfolding simultaneously. It's not our job to solve them. It's not our job to find the solution. But we do have to show up in Jesus' name for people who have no one else. That's always been the job from the days of the first Christians gathering together until now. We do have to show up in Jesus' name for people who need us, for people who have no one else. Thank you, Holy One, for the long ago Christians of Thebes who showed up on Pacomius' worst day and transformed his life with their kindness, which also transformed the church. Help us to be witnesses to your love and your peace in our own day. Help us to find new ways of living out your love that meet the challenges of this moment. Send us your Holy Spirit on Pentecost and forevermore. In God's name, amen.